Let me just give a quick overview of the agenda, and I'll ask to see if anyone has anything they want to add. So we'll do the IP note, call notes, usual stuff. We don't need scribe selection today. Thank you, Ori, for volunteering. We'll do introductions and reintroductions, announcements, reminders, progress and action items. So we're getting at close of year, so I'm going to be calling on a few more action items than usual, with a goal towards closing out as much as we can. And then lastly, the focus will be the introduction and discussion of the new, and it's actually not called Digital Credentials Consortium, we're calling it. It's a sort of inelegant name, I apologize, but what are we calling it? I'm not seeing it now. Oh, yeah, Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force. So because we don't want to have it tied specifically to one effort, and we want verifiable credentials to be one word. Anyone have anything to add before we get started? Check the queue real fast. Okay. Let me dive in. Okay, IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. There are a few links to learn more about this. First of all, we have the direct link to join the CCG. This is something you might be needing to create a W3C account. It's free to join the CCG group, but you just have to create a web account with W3C and join it. And then lastly, here are the contributors license. Good call, Ganesh. Thanks, Manu. Okay, so... yeah, the contributor license agreement, it's available here if you want to read more about what's involved with joining. Okay, call notes. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at this URL that I'm pasting in IRC. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call as well as to take minutes. All attendees should type present plus, no space in between, to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. And in IRC, to get yourself on the queue, type Q plus, the letter Q, the symbol plus, with an optional reminder, for example, Q plus to mention something. So the Q is required if you want to use the Q command in that way. If you're not on IRC, simply ask to be put on the queue, and please be brief so others have a chance to chime in as well. You can always queue plus again. So yeah, even though we have IRC, the meeting is held by voice, so if you have important things to say, please add yourself to the queue and say it that way. Okay, let's get to introductions and reintroductions. I've seen a few new people, so I think we have a little extra time on today's call, so I'm going to call on a couple of folks. Maybe we'll do that instead of reintroductions. First of all, Erica E. Connell, can I call on you to introduce yourself?
Yes, good morning. I'm Erica Connell, and I am here to learn more about this conversation and therefore create and find ways that I can participate.
Great. Thank you for joining. And I see James Chartrand. James, can you introduce yourself?
Sure. I am James Chartrand. So I'm working with McMaster University in Hamilton in Canada, far away from Trump. sorry. Working with Kim on the Verifiable Credentials Task Force.
Great. I see the alias Ethnogenist. I'm not sure if you've introduced before. Can I ask you to introduce yourself?
Hi, yeah, sorry, this is Steve McGinnis. Been hanging around these calls for a while. Just really interested in what's going on with credentials and want to make sure I stay on the cutting edge.
Thank you. And lastly, I see Stuart F., which I think is Stuart Freeman. Can you introduce yourself? Hello? I'm hearing your voice, but it's choppy. Okay, we might have a connection problem there. Let's see. Let me just scan real quickly. I think we got to all the new ones that I...
Kim, this is Greg Nadeau. I'm not on the site yet. I'm just dialed in.
Greg, can you introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Greg Nadeau, and I'm with Public Consulting Group, a U.S.-based company, and I co-chair the IMS Global Comprehensive Learner Record Task Force, and will be also co-chairing the IEEE Conceptual Model for Learning Technology Systems. And I'm looking forward to working with folks here in the W3C community to integrate these specifications to the best we can and create common implementation guidance for the community.
Thank you, Greg. Great to have you today. Okay, so good to see some new folks on the call today. I'm going to move to actions and reminders. We try to keep this page here, announcements and reminders. Let's see. Yeah, so we try to keep that up to date, but usually that's me doing it. I haven't done it in a while, so it's probably not up to date. I'll try to do that at some point this week. What I'm about to say then is the master truth of announcements. So last meeting of 2019, I see that in the announcements. I guess that's just pointing out that our last meeting will be next week. Is that... That sounds right, Joe.
I thought the 3rd and the 10th were the only two meetings in December.
Oh. I thought, okay. Perhaps. Sounds like we need to figure that out. So this might be the last meeting. We'll keep you posted. Okay, so the ongoing announcement about dedicated DID calls on Thursdays, those are still happening, and they have this Zoom room right here. Oh, actually, I should pause and call on Manu.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to go during the announcements and reminders. So keep going, Kim. I can go at the end. It's just
okay.
About the DIF WCCG joint work thing.
Okay, great. And then also, I would like to do, if you could talk to the DID face-to-face. I notice we don't have it in our announcements.
Okay,
so yeah, the Zoom calls for the DID, what are these? These are the DID resolution breakout calls. So this is sort of, I guess it's called a task force within the CCG, and they release their minutes as part of the CCG, but they're having separate calls so they can deep dive and DID resolution concerns. So it happens on Thursdays at this Zoom room, and that is starting at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Here's a couple of time conversions here. Before I'm going to do this one more before calling on Manu. So this year we have been closing out action items and work items. We're making pretty good progress on closing out at least some of those. So we may use one more call this year to keep doing that. Let's see, what else do we have? Okay, Manu, I'm going to call on you now.
Okay, so thanks, Kim. As some of you know, we have been having discussions around personal data stores, identity hubs, and encrypted data vaults. This is about basically storing data in a using some of the principles that we've espoused in this group, such as control over that storage location, using DIDs, storage locations for verifiable credentials, stuff like that. So there have been a number of calls that we've been having with the Decentralized Identity Foundation community, so DIF community, W3C Credentials Community Group, and then the Hyperledger Aries group. They've been pretty well attended, 60 people-ish during the calls. And the last meeting we had got us onto a pretty solid path as far as like getting consensus around a direction. I just pasted the minutes in IRC. Basically what we've semi-come to the conclusion of is we're going to have a joint work item between at least DIF and W3C CCG and anyone else that wants to join. The group's open. We're still trying to resolve some of the specifics around intellectual property concerns, but that is basically up to DIF management and W3C management to sort through. We're working through those things, and we will let the all the communities know once we've sorted those things out. We're hoping that those things are sorted out within the next month. And that's it. As far as the DID working group face-to-face call, I saw Dan Burnett join. Dan, would you like to do the what's happening with the DID face-to-face meeting?
Yes. So the face-to-face meeting is December 29th through the 31st, the last 3 days of December, in Amsterdam. There is a link to it on from the DID site. Let me see if I can get that up here. If someone else gets
January.
To it faster, go. What did I say? What month?
You said December.
January. Oh, sorry. Oops. January. Yeah, obviously it's not at the end of December. Basically, if you're interested, we will be dropping a link for people to, we have a place where people can register to attend if you're a member of the working group. If you would like to come as a guest, please let us know as an observer. Let either me or Brent know, and we will give you the information to attend.
Thank you, Dan. And I thought we had Jonathan on the queue. Jonathan, is there anything you want to add?
No, just back to Manu's discussion about the intellectual property. It might be helpful to just to review and understand that a little better, because I'm still kind of confused as far as like the nuances of the intellectual property restrictions in regards to the DID working group, the community group, and what are the concerns of the overlap with DIF. I'm not a lawyer, and but it might be helpful to actually make that a topic of discussion in the future.
Yeah, I agree, and that's the problem. None of us are lawyers, and we keep needing to talk about legal things. So I think that's a really good idea to dive into that a little bit more. Maybe we can get someone, who can speak to that more authoritatively. But I know Manu, for example, has been, having to be a lawyer as his night job. So, at least in terms of understanding the CCG IPR impact, so we could get him to weigh in on that and possibly bring in someone from W3C to talk to a little bit more, who are actual lawyers, maybe. Great, so I'm going to move on to the progress on action items. This link is where we keep track of the action items that we're going to review next during the meeting. We have a lot here. That's because end of year, we wanted to close them out. The the main topic of today's call, I don't expect will take a very long time, so we can spend a little bit longer. We don't have to get through all the issues, though, for these action items. The first one I wanted to call on is one that I noticed Christopher added, and it is issue number 100. I pasted in IRC. Christopher, can you talk to this issue a bit more? Christopher, are you speaking? I'll move on. Okay, let's come back to that one. And Christopher, you can add yourself to the queue if you come back on voice. So the next one I wanted to call out, let's see, the WebKMS one, actually, let me do the other one first. So the DIDKEY method, this was the topic of discussion last week. It is this one, issue number 98. So we talked about it. We decided there's interest. I think, in fact, that the editor, they found an editor, Oliver, who's from a different organization. So this one doesn't even need the waiting period. We want to just move ahead with this. So I wanted to just call out that, yes, this one is approved. It's up to me to kick off the next steps, which I will try to do this first thing today. So, yes, we're moving forward with this one. But let's talk about the other one, WebKMS. Manu, what would you like to do with this one, issue number 99, WebKMS? Should we make this a topic of a call? Do we want to just quickly tee it up for, you know, announce it and then talk about it on the mailing list? What's a good way to move forward with this?
Sure. I think I'm fine with either. I think just having it, I don't know, probably having a discussion on the call where people can kind of rapid fire ask questions about it would be good, primarily because it's not as far along as some of the other specs that we've been working on. And people may have a lot of questions around what the work is supposed to be and not. So we could do either one. We could kick off the discussion over the mailing list and see how much chatter that creates and then provide a little bit of time on the call, or provide a lot of time on the call and then, you know, finish it off on the mailing list. It's really up to the chairs. I don't have a strong preference either way.
Yeah, you did. I noticed that you did already mention it on the mailing list, and there was a healthy amount of discussion. So I think for next step, certainly if we have a call next week, it might be a good candidate to do then. It just is part of end of year closeout. Otherwise, I like the idea of having it as a call discussion, because I think there were a few threads of that mailing list discussion that would be good to talk about over voice. Joe, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I guess, let me make, okay, sorry, I thought I was muted. Do we have two editors on it?
We do not. So we'd need participation from some other group.
Okay, so I like it. If you'd had two editors, I would say let's just approve it today and have a conversation next week anyway about it. So let's have a conversation next week, and in this next week, let's try and find another editor to add to the team.
We've got another editor in IRC.
Okay.
Nice.
And plus one. That'd be great. Thank you, Ori.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
Thanks, Ori. I will make a note of it and try to get you added in here.
So I think this passes the test for can it be a work item of the CCG? I think there's enough support. We have two editors. We don't, you know, we've had some conversations. We don't need a consensus verifying weight. So I, speaking to the chairs, I think we should just approve this, and I think it's a good topic for the possible meeting next week.
Plus one. Any objections from Christopher? Okay, let's move forward. I marked it as approved and assigned it to me, so the next steps are me to just do the bookmarking stuff. So cool. We will move forward with that. Great. Okay. I'm going to keep going for about 5 more minutes on this. So the next one was opened 28 days ago, and I didn't really understand the context. However, if Christopher isn't available over voice, actually, I'm not going to call on this. So what I was going to call on was need to host schema for current JSON-LD schemas. It's assigned to Christopher and Manu. I don't have context on this one, so that's I was hoping to, find out what we need to do to if we need additional assignees. If anyone has something to add on it, just add yourself to the queue. Otherwise, I'll move on to the next. Ori? I can scribe for you, Ori.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have been unmuted this whole time. Good thing I'm not saying anything inappropriate. as I'm busy scribing, it's hard for my brain to catch up for a second. This issue, there's a sister issue in the DID working group regarding how are JSON link data contexts hosted and documented, and how can we make that process as easy as possible and as sort of centralized in one location such that when you need to update the context, you can update the documentation right next to it in the same pull request, and the code review for context updates can like check to make sure that you've updated the documentation. So I have an open item for the DID working group to solve a similar issue, and I think on this issue I'm also referenced somewhere as volunteering myself to help sort it out and update the contributing sections regarding this. So it's on me. I've been working through a number of related issues and I keep putting it off because I learn more about how to do it better. So that's some additional context I can provide.
Okay, that sounds good. That also sounds familiar now. So we will, and I've noticed steady progress on the other one, so we'll just keep monitoring that. I imagine we can close it out more like early next year. Okay, this next one I just want to check progress on. So we have issue number 94, which is need a process summary for verifiable credentials working group. We have assignees for it, Dan and Matt Stone. So we need a process summary for the maintenance mode, verifiable credentials working group, et cetera, et cetera. Dan, has any progress been made on this?
Mono and I had started a conversation around that because it's not just a process within the working group. It is the combination of how things need to be done in the CCG in order to prepare work for the working group. So as I say, Mono and I started the conversation, but we're definitely not done and need to have more discussion about how to make that process as smooth as possible, but without inappropriately confusing people as to the status of any particular work item.
Okay, that sounds fair. And I think it sounds like it will touch on some of the general CCG process items. So sounds like the chairs might want to chat with you on that as well.
Sure. One other thing about this, the working group is the vote is still out, actually, for the working group to be chartered to do that maintenance work, and it actually is until sometime in January. So, again, if your advisory committee representative has not voted in favor of the group, please have them do so. They will find the invite in their email. The other thing is that, obviously, nothing is going to go to the working group until after it has officially been created. So, realistically, that's probably not going to happen until end of January at the earliest, possibly sometime in February. That does not mean we can't start work here once we have a process agreed on, but just to let people know that there's no place for any pull requests you create right now to go for the VCWG yet. But hopefully we'll have a process in place, or at least a way to start before we get to that point.
Thank you, Manu, and Dan and Manu, for adding the link for where to vote. So, yes, a reminder for people to vote in favor. Okay, one last one that I wanted to check status on. That is issue number 32, update crypto suites to use, is it pronounced COSY? COSY? key Cozy. Signature formats. COSY, okay, cool. Right. I'm just checking if there's any updates of interest. There's a lot of discussion, but, oh, they're from last year. Oh, this is a year old. Anyone? Okay, so we have Manu and Dave as assignees. Do we have anything we want to add? Is this something we want to carry into the new year?
Unfortunately, I don't think that the COSY stuff is far enough along for us to do much with it. I think everyone agrees, or I shouldn't say that. There's a contingent of people that feel like that's the future, but due to where kind of library implementations are, we can't really move on it, and I doubt we're going to be able to move on it for the next 6 months or year. So regrettably, I think we should probably just close it.
Okay. I'll make a note on it, and it sounds like we might try to have an archive notion for things that we might want to come back to. So okay, so that's it for action item progress. Thanks everyone. That moved very quickly. And now I want to move to the main topic, which is let me find the link again. So the Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force. The link for the draft charter is here. So I wanted to talk about what this is, what the proposal is, and we're going to be following up with the mailing list for a proposal for a task force. I forgot to check with Joe and Christopher whether this one will require the sort of 7-day countdown. I think we're definitely curious for feedback, and that's one reason a lot of people new people from the education space. So yes, the idea would be to launch a task force within the CCG. And as context, some of you may remember we had a educational occupational verifiable credentials task force a while back, and we didn't make a whole lot of progress on that. This is sort of an evolution of it, but it's been forced forward by an effort that I've been involved in, which is called the Digital Credentials Consortium. I want to include a link to that. So this one is an effort. It consists of about 12 universities, from U.S., Canada, Mexico, some European universities. And the original idea behind this was a lot of the individual universities had been working on different efforts to do, digital credentials and blockchain-anchored credentials. As they moved forward with prototypes, they noticed that the conversation was led by vendors a lot. And because we're talking about, entirely new technical standards, and many of the interoperability standards aren't actually built yet, things like credential exchange protocols, things like that, they wanted to take advantage of their kind of pooling resources by working together to understand more about the impacts of digital credentials that are possibly blockchain anchored, but really the main principle behind that would be supporting decentralized verification. And they wanted to be able to use their resources, you know, whether that's students or, you know, existing people in their, you know, in their technology teams to start building prototypes of the kinds of tools that students would need. Now, these universities aren't, they're not commercial companies, and so the idea is not that they would be building a verifiable credentials tool set, you know, issuing product, things like that. But what they did want to do is continue along the lines of the existing prototypes, building libraries that understand the verifiable credential standard, you know, building prototypes around a lot of the interop goals that we've been talking about, whether that's, you know, the storage kinds of standards, decentralized identifier methods that integrate into existing university auth systems, things that are specific to their use cases. So those efforts have been going on for a little while. It was announced probably about a year ago, but, you know, there was a bit of a slow roll start getting the various universities involved. In the last few months, we've been working on a white paper and planning for pilot projects. So the white paper will be out in about 2 weeks, and the goal of that is to basically call out the requirements and principles, and it talks very heavily about the use of verifiable credentials and decentralized identifiers and everything that you all know and love. But I think that a specific layer that we're talking about on top of it has a lot to do with the difficulties of realizing this ecosystem in the educational space to issue educational credentials, not just the transcript diploma types, but also things like, you know, as we move to more micro-credentials and things like that. So the idea is that there's a lot of interesting concerns that come up with academic credentials and the verifiable credentials architecture specifically. So things like, what happens if the student needs to reclaim their credential? And, you know, things like university credentials are meant to be lifelong kinds of, you know, credentials that you may need, say, 20 years from now, something like that. What happens if the issuer goes out of business? What are best practices that promote student privacy? But then also, what are the kinds of concerns the legal concerns that come up? And having a set of international universities really forces it. So an example is that during our discussions, we realized that because of the nature of GDPR, it gets kind of sticky. Like if you're a U.S. company and you have customers in Europe, then you have to start thinking about GDPR. But then also just the realization that GDPR is promoting a nice privacy by design architecture that really resonated with us. We decided that just the baseline target compliance framework should be GDPR. So there's a lot of decisions that we made during the course of figuring out what it would be like to actually deploy these in our in the target university systems. So that's sort of context. Okay, so what we also realized was that there's a lot of things that we need to start discussing more broadly. So we don't want this to be a 12 university solution, you know, that only works within these 12 universities. It started that way just because, you know, they wanted to kind of have a tighter group to compare notes and, you know, make faster progress. But there's several aspects of it. One is that they want to align with all these other efforts with educational credentials and, you know, promoting learner sovereignty. But then also, let me check the voice. I'm hearing some background noise. Manu, I'm not sure how to mute people.
I'll do it.
Then. Okay, thank you. So let's see. I can't remember where it was. Right. So it's not just limited to the production of these. There are there's how do these get used in the world? What sort of systems will be consuming them? How do we work with commercial partners to communicate the standards and the impacts to the standards that already exist? So let me give an example of that. Many educational data standards will have an assumption of, they're not familiar with the verifiable credentials architecture. They might try to identify recipients by putting, personally identifiable information in there. So the idea of using something like DIDS for proof of control is a new concept. Another example is that a lot of them may have an assumption that the credential is hosted by the issuer or a trusted third party, and the exchange is happening without the learner consent. So that's another way where these kinds of assumptions in the ecosystem actually get floated down to the data model. So these are kind of new things in this space that will need to result in more communications with educational standards bodies, as well as commercial partners. So some of this effort is already taking place in a group called the T3 Innovation Network. So there's a lot of work there happening around aligning data models, get the notion of building comprehensive learner worker records. But what we wanted to do here was to focus specifically on, the kinds of questions that are specific to the verifiable credentials ecosystem. This is a compelling first realization of these things that we've talked about. I think the verifiable credentials data model is kind of flat, but things like terms of use, how do we use that to prevent resharing, among relying parties, things like that. There's a lot of aspects that we want to address just by the fact that this would be one of the first big implementations of verifiable credentials. Let me see. Okay, so I think I've called out here in this the scope. So again, we don't want to reinvent what the educational standards bodies are doing. We just want to think through as a public group the work involved with migrating to a verifiable credentials data model. And it ranges from very kind of low level format concerns. Many of these educational data standards are in XML, which, do we actually have many deployments using XML? Like, should we look to expressing verifiable credentials in XML to support that? Or, is there more flexibility? So, for example, open badges standards tend to be very JSON-oriented. And, for example, Nate, who's on the call today, he's been involved in both groups for a while. So he's already been working on a lot of efforts to kind of expose verifiable credentials notions into open badges. Those don't yet exist in other data standards. So, but how sticky are those other data standards? How much do we need to worry about them for our use cases? There's other concerns like how do we promote reuse of linked data? How do we sort of avoid segmentation that could happen? Some of this deals with the valuable work that Ori has already started with making information about context more discoverable, but especially if we're proposing to build these, these verifiable credentials expressing common accomplishments, there will be very significant variation per, geography and things like that. But if people can reuse something, they should be able to. We don't want everyone having to reinvent things. So, yes, how do we assume architectural principles of learner? In the education space, we tend to use the word learner instead of, recipient subject kind of thing. So how do we preserve their control and privacy? Practical ways to use DIDS for integration with existing university auth methods. And then expanding on underexplored aspects of verifiable credentials usage. And then lastly, life cycle considerations, credential recovery, what happens if they go out of business. There are certain kind of benefits that could be achieved by the notion of, you know, if educational institutions are pooling together to, you know, participate in this framework, there may be options like, you know, if one university goes out of business, the others can continue to recognize their credentials going forward, or, you know, support reissuance in some way. Or maybe some other party is trusted to do that. Okay, so for deliverables, I think that there's a lot of work to sort of map the space and prioritize what, you know, what we want to focus on per use case. I think that, for example, the use cases that the Digital Credentials Consortium is interested in bringing forward are the pretty standard one. So there's credentials capturing professional development. So this might be a, I don't know, like a foreign language course that, you take as part of your, you know, offline, not sort of co-curricular kind of work. Diplomas and transcripts, the usual suspects. That doesn't mean that other learning credentials are out of scope. I think this is just conveying that there's a lot of work to do in this space, and it's a good time to start getting alignment on the kinds of credentials that are very commonly produced now in existing systems. So diplomas are very commonly used in, prototypes of, you know, blockchain-anchored credential systems. And then also professional development or co-curricular types of courses are very common as well. We've called out relationships to external groups. Obviously, the foundational groups are Verifiable Credentials Working Group via the CCG, the Centralized Identifier Working Group. I think the way that we see this working is we're going to have a lot of questions about, you know, being one of the first kind of big deployments of it. So I think it would be good to have a way to, you know, ask for clarification on these issues. We're also calling out the existing educational data standards groups that are already doing this sort of work that we don't want to reinvent. But, you know, so we will consider them partners in moving this forward. We'll have a tight communication with them. And then lastly, some others include the credential schema repository. So if there are good solutions for, you know, discovering already existing credential schemas like Credential Engine, CPDL, we want to reuse that. Or, you know, if it doesn't work for us, we want to understand why. But then also T3 Innovation Network is providing good use case partners in terms of the learner, worker, military ecosystem to actually realize all of this. So we intend to operate like the DID Resolution Task Force, having separate calls and, you know, producing minutes and recordings in the same way. So for co-chairs, I think we have, at this point, we have me and on behalf of MIT and James on behalf of McMaster. We may end up having a few more. So, okay, I've talked enough. Let me see what's on the queue right now. Okay, Manu?
Yep, thanks, Kim. That was great. And the write-up, the task force write-up is particularly, like, really helpful. So thanks for that. For whatever reason, over the past month, there's kind of been an explosion in, like, people talking about various federal governments participating in, like, learner records, and this comprehensive learner record thing is now becoming, you know, discussed more and more. So, you know, there's talk about, you know, there's discussions at the White House, there's discussions at Department of Ed, and that's just in the U.S. I know that IMS Global's been, you know, talking about this. So I'm struggling with where the center of mass is with the various, like, things going on. Your deliverables like feel very good and focused and concrete to me. So like, you know, if it's, you know, the deliverables are credentials around professional development and diplomas and transcripts and coming up with, you know, verifiable credential, vocabularies for doing that, like that feels very concrete to me. I'm wondering how like the community can help with that, because you know that you know how this goes, like the more concrete it is, yeah, the easier it is for everyone to get around it and produce something. A number of the things that you covered though, like I don't see where they fit in. Like it like I don't know if this is going to be the center of mass on this stuff, and if it's great, if it is and you've got buy-in from everyone, fantastic. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Like, are you really focused on the deliverables listed in the task force? And then do you feel like there's actual center of mass here, or are we trying to build that center of mass?
Right. That's a great question. So I think that, there are a few specific things, and a lot of it is around IPR. So, T3 Innovation Network is my, impression of where a lot of the center of mass is around the White House efforts, interoperable learning records and things like that. It's definitely the place where we're seeing a lot of industry partners join. And I think, though, when it comes to moving forward specific standards, that's where, you know, the issues of IPR come up. And so, again, we realize CCG and the task force even more is not a standards body, but the kinds of discussions that go into creating drafts, we want to be talking about in a place that provides that sort of protection. Now, in terms, I'm not sure if Greg is still on the call. So actually, I'm going to work with Greg afterwards because he produced a map of all of the groups that you're talking about. So I think that he probably created it with the assumption it's a draft, but I think it really cleanly calls out what are the various efforts and how they relate to each other. I can personally vouch for the fact that I'm involved in all of them, so I have at least an informal sense in my head about how they work together, but that's something that Greg, Nate, Otto, and I have been starting to discuss more, which is the idea that there are some fuzzy edges and we want to clarify that for ourselves. But yeah, I think so. Like, for example, the IEEE, I think I called them out. There's an IEEE CM4LPS, which I think will help work on even more of the data model questions. So for example, things like expressing the comprehensive learner record as a verifiable credential, we may just do all that work there. So we're very keen to not reinvent things. I think we're interested in this group sort of identify what are the potential standards track items, explore them and sort of call them out. But, you know, the more things we can offload to actual standards bodies, the happier we are. So, for example, if we find out that anything in an IMS global spec is not suitable for what we need, really the best we can do is, you know, release some guidance on it and work with IMS Global to have that adopted. Now, those connections are already there to a large extent. IMS Global and these other standards bodies I've talked about are showing up to the T3 Innovation Network, and they're very keen to adopt the verifiable credential standards. And so, but there are some impacts of it regarding decentralized verification that I think that are going to shake out slowly in terms of, you know, the impact to existing ecosystems and assumptions around issuer hosting. Maybe even as part of this or a similar effort, we can try to produce some clarity. But I can vouch for the fact that for all of us in this space, it's very muddy. And so I think that it would be a good deliverable even for us to communicate what these different groups are, what work is happening there. For now, I'll say that I do feel like everyone's motivated to not step on each other's toes, and that we do want to, you know, find the best places to accomplish different things. If anyone else has anything to add, I'll ask you to add yourself to the queue. We have more. I'm going to get to Adrian next.
Okay, so for somebody like me that's only interested in the healthcare vertical, where should like I hold off for a couple of months while the non-vertical stuff is worked through, or what do you recommend?
I'm going to ask Manu to add himself to the queue on that, because I think that he and I had talked briefly about the idea that there are different verticals that they're interested in this kind of work. I think that the first instance of this is going to learn a lot of things that may be generic to, you know, different efforts. So I think, you know, for those, it might be interesting more to like lurk from the side for a while. But it would be good to check in to see how this could work with in other verticals. You know, government records is another example. So we'll come back to that. Joe, you're up.
Yeah, a question and a comment. So all the members of the task force are going to join the CCG and sign the contributors agreement?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So my other comment was just to answer to your question about 7 days or not. I think unless something comes up in this conversation that suggests there are some substantive things we need to keep kicking around as a group, i.e. some sort of principled objection that someone would like to have a more detailed response to, I don't think we need the 7 days. I think if there's enough support voiced on this call, we can improve the task force.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Chris Swink, you're up.
Hi, Kim. Thanks. Yeah, just acknowledging the support for the task force. Obviously, I would like to be part of that as part of Learning Machine. Also appreciate, Greg, if you're putting that map together of all the players, that's going to be really helpful. I think it's important to make sure that we're talking to a number of the groups that are trying to do this work already, like the Roanoke Declaration Network, ACRO, ARUC in Canada, because maybe there's elements that we need to do from the technical side, and some of these other groups can help us from the, say, data exchange side, especially in the education space. So I agree with Manu that finding the center of mass is going to be difficult, but I think if everybody's on the same page that we want to work together, this could be quite a nice thing to do.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Nate, you're up.
Hey, thanks. So I've been involved in the Open Badges side of the work and the IMS Global community for quite a while, as well as the CCG. And so I can shed a little bit of light on some questions of center of mass. I think there are various different pools of mass in this murky water here. And one of the things that we can be most effective at is shining a, you know, particular ray of light down that shows a particular end-to-end use case working really well. And I think the educational use cases are a very good ground to find that collaboration, where we can identify not only a very clear purpose for why a credential should exist, but also a specific set of technologies that a implementer or a community of implementers could marshal to serve that use case end-to-end. And I think it's really important to get end-to-end, from issuing all the way to some entity consuming, verifying and understanding that credential, turning it back into some kind of real-world value. This charter identifies a few use cases. I think there's some refinement to do, and really as we settle into the task force's work, but I'm excited that this can get started here because we have this cluster of different technologies, from the verifiable credentials data model, open badges, schemas for documents, linked data signatures, self-sovereign identity, DIDs, DIDOF, blockchain use cases. We can drive a path right through all those things and show here is a successful way that all these things can work together in the education space, where there are a number of really heavily invested partners. I think that will be very important because a number of the people who are vaguely aware of the different pieces moving around in the community group here and in the specs that are at various stages of development, they don't quite know what it's going to look like to make these things work together. And by illustrating a specific end-to-end use case and how it might be achieved, and then actually activating pilot programs to do that, I think will make a lot of difference in helping organizations who don't quite understand what it would mean to convert a schema like Open Badges into compatibility with verifiable credentials. We can show them what that means and hopefully actually put this capability out into production. We have some partners in this space that are ready to go to production in existing systems that do, you know, millions of credentials a year, adapting some of the new capabilities and technologies we're talking about here.
Great. And yeah, Nate and I have been discussing this and creating plans for it for several years now. So it would be great to have it come forward as part of this task force. Drummond, you're up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think this task force sounds like a fabulous, I've seen tremendous interest in the academic and university sector in verifiable credentials and DIDs, and there are several folks that Evernham has talked to that we probably want to recommend to get involved with the consortium. So I think that there's going to be, in answer to Manu's point, why is there this explosion going on? It's because we have a verifiable credentials 1.0 data model, and folks are excited. So I think it will be there will be an explosion in the space, and then things will fully normalize, as usually happens with stuff like this. So I'm just excited, and congratulations, you know, Kim and everyone that's helped put this together.
Great, thank you. And I realize we're at time. Manu, can you finish us off?
Yeah, real quick, I think you wanted me to mention that there are other verticals that are interested in this sort of thing. So there are various federal governments that want us to do work in the W3C CCG around federal government credentials, right? So we're seeing something. This goes to Adrian's question, like, I care about healthcare. How does this affect me? I think we're seeing the education space, as Drummond said, kind of seeing 1.0, verifiable credentials 1.0 go out there, and they're coalescing around that, and Kim's, leading, that work in that vertical. We're probably in the next couple of weeks going to see U.S. federal governments, Canadian, U.S., various other federal governments saying they would like to see similar vertical work. I'm expecting healthcare is probably going to happen at some point, Adrian. But in the meantime, there's plenty of healthcare-related credentials that have to do with education as well, right? So training for doctors and nurses and things like that. Kim, was that what you wanted me to cover?
Yes, perfect. Okay. Thank you. Okay, great. Thank you, everyone. We'll get back to you on whether we're meeting next week.
Okay, thanks all.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks all. Cheers.
Thanks. Bye.